you, praise team. Thank you, church. I needed to sing today. That's good for the soul. Amen? Amen. Well, this morning, we're going to continue in our learning about the words of Jesus. And we're going to share together today the first three words that Jesus says as a grown man. Does anybody know what those first three words? These are the first three red-letter words that Jesus shares as a grown man. Anybody know what those words are? It's really, 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 really important. No, you were at the first service. No, it's so important for you to understand these words and the depth of what he's doing. The first three words he says, ready? It is written. It is written. Say that with me. It is written. Say it again. It is written. I am committed to help you to know what the red letters are, for you to not only read them and know them, but to know them in a deep and meaningful way. Because when it comes to the trouble of life, the only thing that helps is what is written. It is why when I start now with my prayer time, I start with you. And in just seconds, you know what happens? I remember what's written. He gives me his promises. We have to know what's written. And so in the Gospel of Luke, Mary, Christmas time, I shared with you that the angels proclaimed to her that what she's carrying has purpose, that Jesus is coming into this world to fulfill a mission and a purpose. And I shared with you three things that Mary sings about. We're going to talk about one of those three things today. And that is that Jesus came into this world to turn the proud heart of a man into a humble servant. That his spirit would be the power that it takes to truly transform a human soul. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today and about how that gets fulfilled in life. This morning we're going to talk about temptation and the power of overcoming temptation. We're going to look at three different kinds of temptation that Jesus faces when he's in the scriptures. And I'm going to share with you that there is really only one answer for all of our failures. There's only one way through. And it is the same no matter what the problem is. It is always the same answer. So we've talked about the differences between Luke and Matthew, and I want to bring that to the fore again. For example, you notice as you're reading that the genealogy in Luke that traces the ancestry of Christ is tremendously different from the genealogy in Matthew. If you look at them, and the first thing is Matthew starts his gospel with a genealogy. Luke, it's in chapter 3. It's after Christmas. And that genealogy in Matthew, if you look closely at it, you learn that it begins with Abraham. And that's because Matthew wants to convince Jewish people that Jesus is their Messiah. Luke is interested in a whole different group of people. And so Luke's genealogy doesn't go and stop at Abraham. It goes all the way back to Adam, because Jesus came not just to save Jews, but to save everybody. When John the Baptist comes out of the wilderness, he tells the Jewish people, we saw a little video last week, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Do not count Abraham as your father. Do you not know that God can raise up stones?" We don't realize it, you and I. But But we're the rocks. We're the stones. We're the family of God that God has raised up outside of Judaism. Now, I'm thick-headed, but I don't like it when they call me a rock. I'm not like that thick. But yeah, you and I, we're the ones that God has raised up. And he came to save us all. And after the genealogy, we come to chapter 4. And so what I want to do is I'm just going to read a little bit, and we're going to talk about three different temptations. Temptation of body, temptation of mind, and temptation of spirit. And then we're going to close with a very real illustration of how this plays itself out. So this is Luke chapter 4. If you would, turn in your Bibles. If you haven't started bringing your Bibles, please bring your Bibles with you to church, if you would, so I can tell you some important things to underline. All right. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, remember when he got baptized, the dove came upon him? Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where he, for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. First thing about temptation and the mistakes that we make in life, God never tempts us. God doesn't do that. God delivers us from temptation. He shows us the way out and empowers us to get through it, provided we're listening. But he never takes us there. He never says, well, let's go test out this guy now. He's not tempting like that. God doesn't tempt us, but he empowers us through the troubles of life. So he's in the wilderness, and he ate nothing those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now, my son Matthew has decided, completely on his own, without encouragement from his dad, that he's going to join me on my fast from now through Easter. So he's going to, he's doing the same path. He's going to fast from Thursday night till Monday morning. So not yesterday, but last Saturday at about 5:15 in the morning, I got a text from Matthew. And it said, I am hungry. 5:15 Saturday morning. And I said to him, no, you're not. That's just your flesh trying to control your spirit. You need to understand this. That's just your flesh trying to control your spirit. I know that you're not hungry. You and I have been to Canada. I saw you expend 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day in the pouring down rain and the cold and survive on one package of instant oatmeal that wasn't even cooked, and it lasted you for 2 days. You're not hungry. You're nowhere near hungry. It's just that you're being tempted by your body to defeat your soul. That happens to all of us. And if we do not have the right answer for overcoming temptation, we will fail. So I would like for you to learn this morning the way to overcome the temptations of the flesh. That's this first one. The first temptation, he's hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Because his body is telling him, you need to eat. And Jesus answers. What does he say? It is. You need to say it, guys. If you don't get this, you can't win. You will lose. Okay? How does Jesus respond to the temptation of the flesh? It is written. He knows what's in the Old Testament. And he doesn't just know it by mind. He knows it. He lives it out. It's real to him. If I did not know the promises of God, I would have run away from this a long time ago. He knows. You need to know what is written. You have to know this. You're in one of three places in your life. You're about to get into some trouble. You're in some trouble. Or you just got out of some trouble, and you're about to enter some more, because there's no place else to be alive. That's all there is. You have to know what is written. If I did not know what was written when I prayed and received the promises that were written, I could not look at you and say, I'm good today. But I am. I would not have been good 6 months ago. You would have received my wrath, and you know it. I'm good. You know why? Because I start my prayers with you, and I'm reminded about what is written. You have to know this. Learn what is written. And so he responds, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. He knows what's written. He's hungry. Yes, this is real. How long does it take for that temptation to be defeated? As soon as he remembers and says what is written, it's gone. Just that fast. Now, that doesn't mean Satan's done. So that's the temptation of the flesh. And that temptation of the flesh permeates our lives. There's a reason it's the first temptation. It is powerful. We only overcome this by learning the truth. You answer temptation with what? Say it. It is written. And then you got to know what's written. You can't just say it's written. You got to know what the promise is that deals with where you are in your life. And so immediately the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. You know, it's a serious temptation to believe that you're all that. It's serious to want to be the one who answers everything, the one who fixes everything, the one who has all of the solutions to every problem. It's a serious temptation to be led to a high place and be convinced that you are awesome. I will give you, he said to him, I will give you all. The devil led him up to a high place, verse 5, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours. Here's the power of this temptation. What the devil says to Jesus is true. It absolutely, positively is true. But it's not right. It's not right. The devil has the authority to give Jesus the kingdoms of the world. Now, this is just the wrong time. That's going to happen. But Jesus didn't come at Christmas to be the king of this world. You know that. That's not his purpose. And it's a sore temptation to get off track. He came this time to give his life away. That's his purpose. And you know what? If he thinks he's going to be all that, he cannot be a humble servant. That's a sore temptation. The third one. Oh, how does he answer that? It is written. Come on, guys. Get with the program. It is written. He's this fast on it. That temptation comes, and Jesus is right on it. It is written, right? And he quotes, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." How long does that temptation last? Boom, we're on to the next. Temptation of body, temptation of mind and ego. Now temptation of the soul and purpose. The devil led him to Jerusalem, had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written." What just happened? The devil is going to use what's written to do what? To get me off purpose. Because if it's written, it's true, right? If it's written, it's true. So listen to what the devil says. Quotes what's written. He says, "He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." So the temptation is, you know, it's probably Passover. There are probably 10,000 people in Jerusalem. And Jesus gets to make a great big grand entrance and fly in. Just throw yourself down and fly right into the crowd and announce, "I'm here." The temptation is to live off purpose. He didn't come to fly in and announce that he's the king of the world. He came to be a humble servant and die on the cross. Now, it is written that he will come and fly in and take on the rulers of the kingdoms of this world. That's written down. That's just not happening now. It is true, but the timing's wrong. He's coming on a cloud, and he's flying in. What Satan said is true. The temptation is to use it for yourself. That's the same temptation we always have. The temptation is always to orient the world and the circumstances to you, to be selfish and self-centered in your life. And the answer for that temptation, whether it's a temptation of body or mind or spirit, the answer is always the same. What's the answer? It is written. And I would encourage you, I really mean this, if you want to be good, I'm good right now. My life sucks, but my soul's good. Weird, but not weird. And it's because I'm living in front of you the truth of this. You have to know what is written. Read the red letters. Learn the promises that God has given to you. So I want to give you a very human, very real example of this, how very, very real this is. So we're going to talk about the Courtney Campbell Causeway. Right? Yeah, this is this week, so this is how real this is, all right? So Brenda's had her stroke. She doesn't even remember Ashley, okay? Ashley's down there trying to figure out what to do. She doesn't even know what a cup is, what it's for. And I have a wedding rehearsal on Friday, so I'm here Friday. And about 5:30, I get in my car to go home. And as you go over the causeway, there's the first hump. You guys have been there. You know this. There's the first hump, and then it's 4.2 miles to the next bridge. Takes me about 6 minutes without traffic. But when I go over that first hump, if I see red lights, I know there's a problem. Okay? And that could be hours. That could be the rest of the evening. Now, here's my situation, all right? As you go over the bridge, as soon as you get at the bottom of that hump, if you turn right, there's an access road there. You guys know what I'm talking about? All right, so let's do a little quiz here. Let's see if everybody understands this. What's that access road for? Somebody tell me. I just want to see if you know. What's it for? It's give you access so that you can go fishing, launch your boat, right? It's an access road, right? Okay, so we understand there's an access road on the right-hand side. All right, now, my situation is I am trying to get to my wife who's had a major stroke, and there could be a neurologist in there telling her what's happening, and she didn't have a clue, so I need to be there, right? In fact, if you really think about it, my reason for being in a hurry is more important than yours. I'm just saying. I want you to see how temptation works. My reason for getting over that bridge is really, really important to me. Okay? So I'm over the bridge, and I have 4.2 miles left to the next bridge, and I'm going along, and I'm probably about, I don't know, half a mile into the little journey, and I'm going like, you know, 8 miles an hour, stop, 10 miles an hour, you know how it is, right? And I notice in my mirror, I'm in the right lane. I see cars on the right side of me. I'm like, what the heck? And then a car passed me in the access lane. And then another one. And, you know, I'm good at being changed, but there's still like part of me here that's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm not really sure I understand what's happening. And between the beginning of the access road and the end of the access road, 27 cars passed me. Now, here's the deal, okay? I just want you to get this. It's important that we understand, okay? Jesus died on the cross so that the Holy Spirit could live in me, so that I could determine what's right and wrong. Am I right? Is that not what happened? Right? So, and not only did the Spirit come upon me, but the Spirit came upon you, and the Spirit came upon 27 other people who just passed me. But somebody's not listening, because that's wrong. It may not be against the law, but that's wrong. Now, I know that that's wrong. I know that it is. And I think so do they. Or at least at some point along the way they did. I think somewhere they knew that it's not right to think that you're more important than the people you're passing. That's just not right, is it? There's something wrong with that. How does someone get from me, where God's working me over, trying to help me to realize the truth of what Mary sang at Christmas, that Jesus came to make a proud heart humble? He came to turn me into a humble servant. How can I be like I am? And all, it seems like, how can that many people be getting it wrong? How does that happen? And I'm going to tell you. And I hope you hear this. They don't know what's written. They just don't know. I think the Holy Spirit tries to help us to be humble. But if we don't discipline ourselves and learn what's written, man, it's hard. It's hard for the Holy Spirit to say, listen, other people are more important than you. I'm not sure you're buying it. I'm certain 27 people didn't buy it. They got it wrong. Something happened. Now, I want you to know that temptation is right at my doorstep. And it never goes away. Satan is alive and well and really, really wants me. Really wants me bad. And so in my mind, if you've ever been on the access road, if you've ever been on the access road, you know that it's not smooth trailing. It's got some bumps and some holes, and it's got some big bumps and some big holes, and there's this one spot where it has a really big bump and immediately a really big hole. And if you're going too fast, you bottom out. Now, how do I know that? And, you know, a bigger question that I ask myself, how do I know 27 cars passed me? That's my problem. Do you understand that? This is my problem. And I get it. But the one thing I didn't do was I didn't go over there and stop them, which I often have done. I didn't do that this time. But I did say, oh God, I hope they bottom out. Why is that funny? You know why that's funny, don't you? You know why it is. Because you're thinking the same thing, aren't you? Yeah. It's right at my doorstep, guys. It's there all the time. The temptation for me to allow my ego to be in charge of my soul is always there. It's what we all face. It's all of humanity. And I'll tell you the same thing I told my son. You're not hungry. It's just your flesh or your mind trying to take control of your soul. So here's what you do. It's working for me. I don't know. I can only tell you it's working for me. If you're not in trouble yet, set aside some time to be with Jesus. You need to get ready. Get yourself ready. Part of that time, learn with your mind and put it upon your heart the things that are written. Don't just sit in silence. Learn. Let it absorb it. Own it. Let it become part of you. Because only then can you overcome the temptations that are certain to come your way. They're certain to come. And the biggest one is the first one. It's my ego. It's my flesh. It ruins families. You guys know this. It destroys us. It would be so easy for me to look at Brenda and think this was all about the flesh. But if I stay there, it's not good, is it? It's not good to let the flesh. I mean, I see what I see. It's real. I see it. But that's not what it really is about, is it? Because if it is, if all we're about is that, I think we're to be pitied. That's sad. There is so much more to life. So I want to encourage you. I really mean this. Have a relationship with Jesus. I mean a real relationship. Let him talk to you. Learn what is written. Learn what is written. And it will prepare you for things you haven't even seen yet. So I pray for you. You pray for me. And I thank you for your love. So does Brenda. We are honored to be here. We're honored to be amongst a group of people who not only say the right things, but are the right thing. And I appreciate that very, very much. So keep us in your prayers, okay? We need it. And again, I've been teaching you how to pray. We just need wisdom and strength. That's what we need. We're not worried about, right, the circumstances changing. I mean, we would love for that to happen, but we don't expect it. What we do want is strength, courage, you know. Ashley, my son's coming next weekend. Me, Brenda, we have to live out our faith in front of you guys. I don't get to go hide. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for me. That's a really good thing for me. You know why? My faith has to be real. It's got to be the real deal. or I can't do this. And so I'm glad I'm not caving. I'm glad I'm not running away. I'm tempted. I know that's a temptation of the mind, and it's not going to take over my soul. I'm good, and I'm glad. I'm glad that God has done what he's done in my life. I'm glad that he's brought my daughter into my home so that not only she can help, but she can watch this. I can't look at her. She needs to see this, right? You need to see this, don't you? You need to know that this is real, that faith overcomes this junk called life. It does. There is a good God. There is. He's got a great plan and a purpose. And I know those are cliches. I'm talking to myself. But it's real. So here's a promise for you. And, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when they're coming in to do stuff they don't need to do, or they do, I don't know, whatever, comes, I'm praying, here's how this prayer went, you, it's exactly what happened, you what, I didn't have anything. Fiddling, making noise, lights off and on, turn the bathroom water on, this and that. It's like, you should be quiet. No, wait a minute. You promised that you would never leave me alone. His grace is sufficient. It is. This is real, guys. It's not made up. I'm not just, I don't have any time for make-believe promises. I got no time for that. Heavenly Father, I come before you, and I ask, oh God, your blessing upon your people, my daughter and her family, me, this church, everybody who's going through the stuff we're going through, Star, her family, same thing. God, we just pray. We just need you. Fulfill your promise for us, Lord. Let us know you're here. Help us. We need your help. We want to trust in you. So we claim that promise. You're never going to leave us alone. You're here. You're in the midst of this. Help us to walk with you. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. All right, friends, we're going to take an offering now and give ourselves unto the Lord.